Would you please pray with me? Lord, we open ourselves to you now, asking for your Holy Spirit to come down upon us as we hear the word, as we take it in, and think about what it means for each of us to be welcoming. Send your Spirit to guide me and to help me as I share the message you've given me. Amen. This week we're going to continue our study in taking a look at Jesus' conversation with his disciples in Matthew 10. In that chapter, Jesus tells his disciples what he expects from them. His 12 disciples are to carry out their mission to preach and teach and heal. They are to dress simply. They are to expect persecutors by government and family. They are to pick up their crosses and follow Jesus. They are to love God more than their family. This was their mission. This is our Christ-directed mission, too. I talked a bit about living missionally, and I challenge you to think about what that might look like for you in your life. Living missionally means nurturing your top two relationships with the Creator God and our Savior Jesus Christ, becoming so tight with them that their likeness is reflected in all that you do and say. We are called to share Jesus through our words and our actions every single day, not just Sundays, not just when there's a church program going on, but every day in our everyday life, no matter where we are or who we are with. We get to our scripture for today, which speaks about welcoming. In a sense, these verses seem to respond to the previous verses found in 34 and 39, and the recognition that the gospel can and does split families, setting one member against another. These are not easy relationships or these experiences. And these were not easy words to hear from Jesus. But what Jesus offers here is a more binding relationship than even the natural family has to offer. Jesus says that as we carry out our mission to take the gospel to the world, we will be rejected by some people, but received by others. Jesus indicates that there is this process that begins when we are welcomed, making a connection between the host, which is whoever welcomes you, disciples, us, Jesus and God, the one who sends us. Through this identification, for the four parties are united. A bond is formed, perhaps one that is even greater than a family bond. The creation of this new family potentially enhances the scope of God's mission and what we can do together. Of course, it's not always us who need someone to extend the welcome to us. We also need to be willing to be welcoming to others, even those who are different from us. They may not have anything special about them, except they are a child of God. That's pretty special, don't you think? You ever think about that when you look at somebody who maybe you feel uncomfortable with? They're a child of God. That makes them special too. They may not seem to know much about God or even seem all that interested in talking about God, but what they may not realize is that God lurks within them, waiting to be discovered by his host. In turn, we may find God revealing himself to us. Shane Claiborne, who has taken the gospel beyond the streets of Philadelphia to the slums of Calcutta and the war zones of Iraq, describes how God revealed himself through the homeless. He says, "I saw a woman in a crowd as she struggled to get a meal from one of the late night food vans. And when we asked her if the meals were really worth the fight, she said, 'Oh yes,' she said, 'but I don't eat them myself. I get them for another homeless lady, an elderly woman around the corner who can't fight for a meal.'" He says, "I saw a street kid get $20 panhandling outside of a store and then immediately run inside to share it with his friends. We saw a homeless man lay a pack of cigarettes in the offering plate because that's all he had to give. I saw a blind street musician who was viciously abused by some young guys who would mock her, curse her, and one night they even sprayed Lysol in her eyes as a practical joke. As we held her that night, one of us said, 'There are a lot of bad folks in this world, aren't there?' And she said, 'Oh, but there are so many good ones too. And the bad ones make you, the good ones, seem even sweeter.' We met a little girl who was homeless and asked her what she wanted to do when she grew up. 'I want to own a grocery store,' she said. He asked her why, and she said, 'So I can give food out to all the hungry people.' Mother Teresa used to say, 'In the poor we meet Jesus in his most distressing disguises.' Now I know what she meant," he says. Jesus did say in verse 42, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." Perhaps a reward we receive sometimes when we welcome someone, anyone, not just the poor, but also the shy, quiet person, the one with a mental illness, a person with lots of tattoos and piercings, the disabled, our neighborhood youth club children, anyone. Is that God reveals himself to us through them. Welcoming is a powerful missional tool that will help to start the process that I spoke of just moments ago, except this time, we are the ones doing the welcoming. We must approach the welcome, first of all, with the right attitude. Do you ever have somebody come to you and say, "Oh, hello, I'm glad you're here," and you could really feel they weren't really it really wasn't there? You know, you just could feel the vibes. You got to get into it with the right attitude, with love and acceptance of a person just for who he or she is, and not with a goal of changing them or perhaps badgering him or her into a submission to our ways and our beliefs. Welcoming does not mean just waiting for someone to come into our church, too. It may not even involve any conversation about coming to church, at least not to start. Welcoming with a genuine, interested, and caring heart invites people into relationships with us, with Jesus, and ultimately with God. And then they too become a part of our family. This is where it gets a little personal as I think about it with us. I've been watching what's been happening in our congregation. Oh, you all know. We have our friends here from the Otterbein community. They've been worshiping with us, and we know that some of them are really hurting and grieving and even angry. And while it's been difficult to do much to get to know them, what, we had one event before the pandemic? That wasn't enough time to get to know everybody. I hope that they can feel our sense of care and support and love. I've gotten to know some of you. I don't know everyone's name, but hey, I'm trying. Please don't be insulted if I do not remember your names. Names, learning names, is a great welcoming tool. We welcome each other as we learn names. Let me get to this point that I really wanted to get to. I've heard many times from all of us that we have Otterbein people and we have Hagerstown people. Yeah? We even call ourselves that, don't we? Otterbeiners and Hagerstowners or whatever, you know. We do that. That's going to stop. It's not that I want people to forget about their heritage and their identity. That's very important. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that comes first. That's in the scriptures. We all have a different heritage. Some of us grew up at Hagerstown, not me. I'm sorry. My hometown is Lititz. I grew up in Lititz Church of the Brethren, you know? We all have different places that we've come from, and we don't forget about those places. They still have a place in our hearts. But more than anything, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd really love for us to learn not to say, well, the Otterbein group is here, or the Hagerstown group is here. Brothers and sisters in Christ have come together to meet. And in our welcoming, we should listen to one another's stories, pray for one another, share God-given ideas and talents, and work together for the building of God's kingdom as God's family, which has no borders. That's what we do. Now, if I don't fall down the stairs, because my glasses are off. This is Jack Finniff. You met him now, right? Hi, Jack. Great job this morning. Oh, the mic's gone. I'll have to shout. This is my friend, Brennan. Wave your hand, Brennan. And this is Julie. Carol. John's sitting over there. I'm not going to go around and name everybody. But just get to know names. We got to get Eileen. You can't hide Eileen here in the back. It's not doing any good at all. We have Lisa. And Ginny, you can't hide either. There's Ginny. And for those of you who don't know, this is Steve Robeson. I don't know your wife's name. Darlene? He's going to be preaching here next week. I was supposed to be at annual conference. I've been shouting too much. And I asked that he be able to continue to come and preach. God. I was shouting too much, sorry. And I heard he's such a good preacher. I said, I asked the leadership team if we can have him stay. And he said, sure. I'm really glad. For two reasons. You said that before. I know. I met you playing bells, and I always mess up your name. It's either Mike or John. Mike.
My wife, Suzanne.
And Suzanne. We got Ed, who sings incredibly. If you weren't watching Facebook Live that day, you were missing a treat. And his wife, Eunice. This is Mary Means. Oh, and Joe. There's Joe Bechtel, you know? Got Barb Duffy right here. Well, she's not gonna wave her hand. I'm gonna knock that thing over if I go that way. Tracy? Oh, I forgot. Give me your name again. Tom. Tom, see, I'm still learning. Here we have the Platos, Arne and Anne. We have the winners here. And Clem, yeah. Gloria and, oh gosh, it's time to stop. It's time to stop. There's a test next week. You better remember all of those. Oh, don't need this. Jesus tells us to welcome people, all people. Take some time in the parking lot, even, just to ask somebody's name. If nothing else, to ask somebody's name so you can get to know one another. Yes, Jesus tells us to welcome all people, for when we do, who do we welcome? Well, this isn't that hard. We welcome him. Whenever we welcome each other, we welcome him and the one who sent him. Amen.